Federal budgets may not be growing much, but contractors can still make a good living. They're looking at $122 billion in the top 10 prime contracting opportunities from civilian agencies this year. According to Deltek, that's more than double the number from last year. Kevin Plexico is the Vice President of Information Solutions at Deltek. He joins me now with more on civilian contracting opportunities coming this year. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
And to you too. So give us the overview. How much will civilian agencies spend? Is it up or down? What are we looking at in terms of the gigantic opportunity here?
Well, I think civilian agencies are faring a bit better than defense world this year, as they did in 2014. So we're not much of an increase, only about 1%, but it's still the first time we've had an increase in a number of years.
So what is the bottom line? What's the macro number for what the addressable part of the whole budget will be?
So there's two ways to look at it. There's the appropriation side, which is going to total about $1.1 trillion, and then there's the contract opportunities side, which is going to be about $150 billion for civilian side. Again, that's up just about 1% or 2% from prior year. And then on the defense side, it's really flat, and that's more like $300-some million, but again, essentially flat. So it's a bit more challenging in the defense world than it's been in the civilian side these days.
And that civilian side is that seems to be trending more toward services than for items and products. What do you see there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we saw some fairly healthy increases in 2014 that I think will continue into 2015. Healthcare, for example, with the rollout of the healthcare reform legislation and really ramping that up, we saw healthcare expenditures and contracting increase 18% last year. And we also saw some decent increases, around 8%, for operations and maintenance, as well as IT and professional services. So those categories are doing a bit better than areas like R&D, which have contracted a bit the last couple of years, as well as some of the product sectors.
Okay, and let's talk about that healthcare a little bit more. Is that strictly Health and Human Services and VA, or is it a little bit more spread out throughout the government?
No, it's healthcare is going up for everybody, and the government, being both the biggest payer and provider of healthcare, is getting their pound of flesh taken from them too. So not only in the CMS with the rollout of the healthcare reform legislation, that's where the biggest increase was in HHS. But we're also seeing increases in military health and the DoD side, as well as in the VA. And that's another area of growth that we continue to see kind of year over year, is because of the healthcare cost increases, the infrastructure that's behind it and underpinning it in the federal side is continuing to grow.
Now, just talking about the VA for just a moment, they've had some trouble in construction, and there was a big lawsuit between that Denver contractor and that big hospital they were building, and then Sloan Gibson himself went out there and said, we're going to get this project back on track, a $1 billion hospital. But in the reform bill that was passed, I guess about August of last year, which the president signed, there's a lot of new spending going toward VA. So it seems like there's going to be some construction and also professional services connected with delivering the healthcare expansion that has been prescribed for that agency.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not only the increasing cost of healthcare, but there's also a fairly receptive Congress right now in terms of veterans issues. So you find a lot of bipartisan support for making sure our nation's veterans have the right health care and benefits associated with that. So you see not only an increase in the basic cost of delivering what we're providing to them, but also the increasing benefits and attempts to try and improve the service delivery to them. And all that is bringing about increases in spending.
And for those companies that traditionally sold products like PCs back in the days when the government would buy 100,000 at a time or over 5 years and this kind of thing. What does that market look like nowadays? Is it simply replacement cycles, or also with the change toward mobility? That, I guess, that's probably affected what it is that agencies buy in terms of hardware.
Well, I think there's a few issues going on. One, I mean, we have a pretty flat federal workforce in terms of employment levels, and so traditionally we had PC replacements and an associated kind of server and infrastructure that would be increasing when you have an increasing workforce. But obviously we have a flat workforce, if not decreasing workforce, and that brings about kind of longer refresh cycles, lower requirements for upgrading and improvements of PCs. I mean, you're able to repurpose PCs that you bought just a couple of years ago when you bring somebody in. So there's, I think that's one of the key components driving the decline in demand for, well, say, IT products. At the same time, you have this transition to more of a services-based delivery model within agencies. So we're seeing agencies making investments in data center consolidation and hardening the data centers they have, giving them the ability to essentially offer kind of cloud-based services to their agency customers internally. So it's kind of changing the formula a little bit, though I wouldn't say it's as bad as is just looking at the raw numbers of an equipment, because some of that's transitioning into kind of a services-based business. But it's definitely an interesting and evolving market that we're in.
And you said there's an increase in operations and maintenance. A lot of that's related to data centers and as they convert over to cloud and so forth and being updated. But that whole idea of O&M seems to be resistant to administration's efforts to try to cut it down in favor of what they call innovation. Seems like operations and maintenance is here no matter what they do.
Well, the operations and maintenance, I wouldn't restrict that just to IT. I think what we're seeing across the market is agencies extending the life of the assets they have, and as a result of that, increasing the cost of maintaining those assets. And the same thing I would say in the architecture, engineering, construction segment of the market. Less brand new development and new construction, and more about sustaining the environment they have. And there's a long list of maintenance requirements that are building up as agencies look to extend the life of the assets that they have.
We're speaking with Kevin Plexico. He's the Vice President of Information Solutions at Deltek. And so in that whole area of buildings and what goes on inside buildings, there's almost a little bit of a convergence going on between the types of contractors that are in there as buildings and maintenance become more IT intensive or more technologically intensive.
Yeah, there's definitely a convergence of security from a physical security and from a cybersecurity point of view, things like access cards that not only authenticate you getting into a building, but also authenticate you on your network. So there's definitely a tighter relationship that's forming between the IT staff and the facility staff, and you're oftentimes seeing them kind of converge in terms of management responsibility as well. I think that, you know, that's kind of another area where there's some opportunity that we're seeing in the market around the greening of buildings, making them more energy efficient by helping to detect when people are in an area. Smarter use of HVAC systems to make sure they're getting the air in the right place and making use of kind of the power more effectively. So there's definitely some opportunity there. I think for most government agencies, it's mostly focused on kind of cost savings. It's given the environment that they're in, all dealing with declining or flat budgets at best. In most cases, they're really looking at how they can pinch every penny.
And let's talk about software for a minute. How has the mobility and the app kind of movement affected software buying, and also the software as a service idea, the cloud-based service, as opposed to buying a million copies of Lotus 1-2-3 as in the old days?
Well, I don't think the mobile movement kind of really hasn't impacted federal the way one would expect or might expect. And we were definitely seeing an evolution and greater adoption of mobile for caseworkers and people that are in the field, that type of thing. But it really hasn't hit kind of the mainstream the way I think a lot of mobile providers would like. And so I think we still have a bit of a runway ahead of us before that really kind of becomes fully adopted.
And what about the GSA Smart Buy initiative? That's had a lot of effect on contractors so far. Do you see that continuing to kind of squeeze profits?
Well, I definitely see a movement towards consolidation of contracts, consolidation of providers, and the government making better use of its purchasing power. And I think they finally have been willing to take some high-risk bets by delaying upgrades of software or canceling maintenance contracts is basically a threat to saying, if you don't give us a better price, we're just going to stop buying it altogether. So I think we've really seen agencies kind of apply some serious pressure to the contractors to get better pricing, and that's definitely played out in terms of more efficient purchases in software. Though I would say there still is a lot of growth in other segments of software, like storage management. Obviously, we mentioned cloud earlier. Analytics and data management. So there's still areas where we're seeing growth, but it's coming out of the skin of some of the other more, we'll say, kind of traditional areas such as operating systems and application software.
Now, earlier we heard Kevin Brancato of Bloomberg talk about a new Army Mac that's coming out that has a ceiling of $37 billion over several years. Any significant Macs or GWACs coming on the civilian side that you feel contractors should pay attention to?
Well, there's a couple coming out of GSA. Obviously, the big one that really isn't going to hit until 2016, but we're going to see a lot of activity on it in 2015 is the Alliant 2 GWAC that GSA is going to be procuring. It's the recompete of the much storied Alliant contract. There's also a Human Capital and Training Solutions contract. This is a $5 billion program that GSA is procuring in partnership with OPM for training and management services. That's expected to have a draft RFP this quarter, so that's a pretty significant opportunity. And then there's a NOAA program called PROTEC that is has been trying to find its way through the approval and acquisition process. It's kind of expected to come this year, though it's very unpredictable. It's been around for a while and talked about for a while, but never really seems to kind of come out. That one's supposed to come out with an RFP in the summer of 2015. That's about a $3 billion program. So, yeah, there's certainly plenty of major programs to kind of start to position for, and I think GSA seems to be getting some good momentum for not only the GSA schedules in terms of improved sales. We're getting a sense that OASIS is going to have good traction, and you know, we'll see how Alliant 2 shapes up.
And what about that new so-called super contract for all of the, or the mega contract, I guess they're calling it, mega schedule for all of the services to be consolidated in a new schedule?
Yeah, that will be interesting to see how they go about that. There's a lot of technical legal issues going on with that relative to things like how NAICS codes get assigned, since, you know, traditionally NAICS codes haven't been assigned to GSA purchases or to SINs, the different segments of the GSA schedule. So, you know, what SINs you're under and what NAICS code you compete in obviously have a big impact in the federal market in terms of whether you're a small business or not. So they have their work ahead of them to figure out how to sort through all those issues. But I think that will be ultimately a good thing for GSA in terms of consolidating the contract management side, as well as a good thing for companies not having to manage all these professional services schedules.
And I wanted to get back to that ProTech that's coming out from NOAA. Is that do they envision that as a GWAC?
No, I think that's really envisioned as an agency-specific contract for NOAA, maybe something that would be used by other elements inside of commerce, but it's not intended to be a GWAC.
Because it's unlikely, I would think, that OMB, the White House, would have a stomach for too many more major GWACs coming out at this point.
Well, I'd say the interesting thing about that is that they put up barriers, and GSA certainly fights against it whenever they see other agencies trying to do it, but at the end of the day, they all seem to get approved. So, you know, you have this long dance around implementing it. I don't think there's any appetite for a new GWAC, but, you know, as you know, a lot of these agency-specific contracts tend to get used on other legal bases for other agencies, you know, using some different methods of acquisition. So they still seem to be popping their head. I think it still challenges companies in terms of making sure that they're positioned for the contract vehicles that, you know, certain agencies prefer. And, you know, VA, obviously, with the T4 contract, you have the Eagle contracts and DHS. It seems like every major agency has kind of their own preferred style of acquisition. And if you're not paying real close attention to what those agencies are doing, you could find yourself kind of locked out of a particular agency.
All right. So in 30 seconds, bottom line, what should contractors be doing now to position themselves for this year and for 2016?
Well, I think, you know, paying attention to the faster growth streams is certainly key. You have to be real strategic. I think it used to be pretty easy to be successful in this market when the market was growing, you know, 7 to 8% per year, just kind of on automatic pilot. Now it's much more challenging to grow. You have to kind of be positioned in the right places. You have to make sure you're aligned to the customers in terms of the contract vehicles they want to use, and really just be a lot smarter and more strategic about how you go about your business than you had to in the past.